We've been with you for 3 years. We're full of zeal, full of faith. We're ready to change the world. And Jesus said, you need to wait in Jerusalem because you're missing something.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, and Pastor Mark, and I would love to extend an invitation to you. If you do not have a church home, maybe you've been listening to Straight Talk for a while, or you just tuned in today, come and give us a visit. We would love to have you. We'd love to meet you and hear your story. There's over 30 celebrations on a Sunday morning. Some are in English, some are in Spanish, some are even in Mandarin Chinese. And if you'd want more information, visit our website at www.newlifechicago.org. And even if it's not New Life, find a church home somewhere and get involved and get invested, because it's been one of the greatest resources for the growth of my faith and in so many other people's lives. We believe it's God's design that you don't float around as a Lone Ranger Christian, but that you develop your faith in the context of community. So we'd love to meet you. Come and visit us, or visit somewhere and get connected. You can get more information at newlifechicago.org.
Thanks, Josh. Today on Straight Talk, as part of our series entitled Supernatural, we continue Pastor Mark's message called Purpose in Community. Our text will continue in the book of Acts chapter 1. Let's get right into our program with Pastor Mark.
The church is God's organism here on earth to spread the kingdom. The church is not the kingdom. The church is a carrier of the kingdom. It's what God has chosen to spread the message of the kingdom throughout the earth. You say, well, what is the church? Well, the building is not the church. The people is the church. We are the church. Some of you got up this morning and says, well, come on, kids, get ready. We're going to church. You say, well, what did you do today? I went to church. And I understand that. I understand that lingo. And I use it too with my kids. But to be clear about this, we don't come to church. We gather as a church in a building. This building is not the church. You and I, carriers of the kingdom, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we are the church. And if this building were to burn down tomorrow, I would be sad, but the church would not be extinguished, because we are the church. The church would continue. The church would exist. And so Jesus spent 40 days explaining what it means to be a part of a kingdom people. By the way, let me simply say this as well. If you understand that we are to spread the kingdom of God, you'll help understand why, as a church, as a people, we don't just come together in a community to do worship services and hear the word of God and then go out and leave the community the same. Because that's called a Christian ghetto. That's not what we are. We are people of the kingdom. So if we meet in a community, we change that community. If we meet here, we spread the kingdom values here. We don't just gather in a building to worship and learn. We begin to bring the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God begins to outflow wherever we're at. And what is the kingdom of God? It tells us in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's why whatever happens in our neighborhood, it's our issue. Whatever happens in this city and among the people, it becomes our issue. Why? Because anything that contradicts the values of the kingdom should concern us. Because our desire is to bring the justice of Jesus Christ and the heart of God and the values of the kingdom, the rule and reign of Christ, wherever we go, it should be reflected among us. Amen? All right. So it tells us that Jesus, with many convincing proofs, appeared to them over 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So the first thing is that we need to have a clear message. The second thing that I want you to grasp about the first chapter of the book of Acts, as God prepares a people to change the world, is that not only are we a people of a convincing message, but we need to be a people with a persuasive power. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father has promised, which you have heard speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus read the disciples up with the message of the kingdom. He talked to them about the kingdom and what it meant and how they were to spread and the values of the kingdom and what it meant to have righteousness and joy and peace among them. And so they were all revved up. It's almost like he got the team together, put their hands together and said, 1, 2, 3, go kingdom. And they all said, let's go. And Jesus said, wait. So let's do it, Jesus. Let's change the world. Wait. But what are we waiting for? You need to wait in Jerusalem because you're not ready. Well, why aren't we ready? We've been with you for 3 years. We're full of zeal, full of faith. We're ready to change the world. And Jesus said, you need to wait in Jerusalem because you're missing something. You're lacking something. Well, what are we lacking? You are lacking the gift that was promised through Joel the prophet, Isaiah the prophet, spoken about in Ezekiel. You're missing the gift. What gift was he talking about? He was talking about the third person, the triune God. He's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the believers, instead of going to change the world, they start having prayer meetings in Jerusalem. They start gathering in an upper room and they're waiting. They don't know how this Holy Spirit's going to come. They don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to look like. But they're waiting. They know they can't go anywhere, move anywhere, until they get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, you say, well, Pastor, I thought they already had the Holy Spirit. Well, here's the thing. They did and they didn't. You see, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and then the Holy Spirit would go, right? Do you remember Saul, King Saul? The Holy Spirit came upon him and he started prophesying and dancing. And then when the Holy Spirit left, he got his spirit and tried to kill David. The Holy Spirit would come, the Holy Spirit would go. Psalm chapter 51, David says, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And we sing that song, and I like that song, but that song is theologically incorrect. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was not there to permanently indwell us. The Holy Spirit would empower people for a task, but he would come and he would go. It's almost like, I need your power now. The Holy Spirit would come on, give us power, and then when it was done, the Holy Spirit would leave. However, Jesus was ushering in a new age. And in this age, the power of the Holy Spirit would be there not just to come on you in certain times. The Holy Spirit's power would come on you to stay inside of you. I want you to hear this because this is huge. You see, it tells us in John chapter 16, verses 5 through 8, Jesus says, it's good that I leave. You say, well, why is it good that Jesus would leave? I think it'd be better if you'd stay. Once in a while, I hear people say, I just wish I could walk with Jesus. I wish I lived back in the days of the apostles where I could just kind of put my arm around Jesus and say, Jesus, my wife's really acting up. What should I do? Tell me. Or I wish I could just kind of hold Jesus and walk with him and hear his voice and he could counsel me and give me wisdom. But I live in this age and I just long to be with Jesus and I wish I could have been there with Jesus. But I want to tell you something. This may strike you as strange, but it's true. You live in a better age than in the age of Jesus. Because you live in the age of the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, I don't understand that, Pastor. Well, let me tell you. Let's imagine that Jesus were on earth today. By the way, he won't be on earth. He won't hang out on earth. And if anybody claims to be Jesus because he wears a long dress and long hair and a beard, and says he's Jesus, here's what I know. It's a false prophet. It's a false Messiah. So don't worry. If there's some wacko out there claiming to be Jesus, you can scratch it off and know, no, he's not Jesus. Jesus isn't going to come on come around and hang out and live in South America anywhere. No, he's going to come back with power and might when he comes in his second coming. He's not going to hang out in some village in South America, okay? Let's just get that clear. Someone said, well, I heard Jesus was living. No, Jesus isn't living anywhere on earth. So just scratch that off. But if Jesus were here on earth right now, here's the thing. There's only a limited amount of people that could hang out with Jesus. I mean, if he was here in the flesh, his 12 disciples, remember the crowds would get around Jesus. They'd try to touch them. They'd try to, hey, just touch the hem of his garment. Because thousands of people trying to access one person would be very, very difficult to have one-on-one time with Jesus. So Jesus said, I need to go because I'm going to change this around so it's better for you. Instead of trying to have face-to-face time with Jesus, I'm going to make it so that you have 24/7 access to power, wisdom, consultation, that you can, anytime you want, have all the power you need, all the power of God at your disposition whenever you want, in the middle of the night, in when you're at work, at the daytime. And I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to send the third person, the triune God, called the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and from this day forward, all those that call upon the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit will live inside of you. When you need wisdom, the Holy Spirit will be right there to give you wisdom if you access that wisdom. When you need power, He'll be there. When you need to know how to pray, He'll teach you how to pray. When you sin, He'll convict you. He'll give you gifts that you don't know how you got them, that you haven't trained for them or learned them. They're supernaturally given to you. You'll open up your mouth at times and the word will come out of you supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit. You will pray for people and some will be healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll open up the word of God and understand it in ways that you've never understood before via the counsel and the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit inside of you. You'll have assurance inside of you. You'll have burdens to pray for people that you had no understanding that they were going through a tough time, but the Holy Spirit will say, pray for them because they're going through a tough time. God will give you discernment and power and strength and wisdom and boldness because the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. The Greek word is the Paraklete, the Counselor, the one that's there to assist you in living for God. I'm glad I live in the age of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad I do. You see, Christianity cannot be lived on its own. You cannot live Christianity on your own without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Purpose in Community, which is part of our series called Supernatural. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Acts chapter 1. Our message is called Purpose in Community.
Jesus said, I want you to wait because the Holy Spirit is coming. Two things will happen when you receive the Holy Spirit. Number one, you receive power. Power. The word for power there is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from. You will receive dynamic, combustible, spiritual power on your life. Power to overcome sin. Power to be a bold witness. It'll be something that is not natural. Christianity is not a self-improvement program based on some nice, nifty teachings of Jesus. Christianity is based on the indwelling of God inside of our life, changing us from the inside out. And we're not saying just come to God. We're saying that God, via the power of the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you every single day. It's powerful. It's a powerful concept. In fact, do you realize that Corinthians says that now you are the temple of God? What do you mean temple? That means that your body right now is considered the temple of God. Why? Because God lives within your body. I run into people sometimes and say, well, I never read anywhere in the Bible that says don't smoke the little marijuana. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where it says don't snort a line of cocaine. I mean, where does it say that? What it does say is that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your physical body is the temple. Where you take your body, you take God with you. What you do with your body, you do with the temple of the Almighty God who indwells you. One of the greatest arguments that Paul gives about immorality, don't sleep around with your boyfriend, don't sleep around with a girlfriend. He doesn't talk about AIDS and venereal diseases and pregnancy tests. One of the greatest challenges that God gives about that is that your body is the temple of Almighty God. And what you do with your body, you are doing with God Himself present. God doesn't walk away. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave you as a believer when you decide to sleep with your girlfriend. God is there in your body. And Paul says, what a travesty, what a defilement of that which is sacred and holy when you take the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and you take and do with your body that which pleases you rather than keeping it holy and sacred unto Him. Ouch. It's powerful. Yeah? Indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, not only that we are a people with a persuasive power. By the way, I wish I could talk to you about the Holy Spirit more. And we will have time later on to talk a little bit more about the power of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But I just want to remind you that the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a thing. It's not a fluid. It's not a force. I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit is a person. Okay? You need to understand that. And when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, we don't talk about, well, this fluid filled me up to here, but, you know, I'm three-quarter of the tank's full, but, you know, I still lack a little bit. No. The Holy Spirit's not a fluid that's poured into you. The Holy Spirit is a person. So when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, we're talking about that the Holy Spirit has greater control in our life, that He has greater control over how we live and how we move. That's what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say that not only are we a people with convincing message, a people with a persuasive power, but lastly, we are a people with a compelling mission. Look what it tells us here in these next verses. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They still hadn't got it, that the kingdom of God is not a political, military kingdom, that it's a spiritual one. Verse 7, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the utter ends of the earth. Wait till the power of the Spirit comes upon you. And when the power of the Spirit comes upon you, then you can go and be my witnesses. And if you read Acts chapter 2, you realize that at the day of Pentecost, they all gathered together. The Holy Spirit came upon them as of tongues of fire. They are all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues and languages, and went out testifying to the power of God. And from that day on, the church was birthed. And from that day until this day, 2,000 years later, the church has not been able to be contained. Because the church is not an institution. It's not an organization. It's a living organism filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the change agent for this world. And how do you join this thing called the church? You join it by giving your life to Jesus Christ, by receiving His forgiveness, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and then you're a part of this thing called the Church of the Living God. That's how it happens. And then he says, you need to be on mission with God. You see, you are not saved just to improve your life or to make sure you don't go to hell. You are converted and washed and cleansed and indwelt by the Holy Spirit so that you can join the mission that God has for you. Notice what he says. I want you to be witnesses to me. And he said, Jerusalem is where they live. Judea was a surrounding area. Samaria was a place where it was a bad neighborhood, basically, where a lot of people that the Jewish people despised lived, and they avoided. They drove around, like some of you drive around certain neighborhoods in Chicago. This was basically, a tough neighborhood. And then the ends of the earth. This meant the Gentile sinners and people that the Jewish people didn't like at all. And what Jesus was saying, I want you to start here, and I want you to make sure that this gospel spreads like wildfire in concentric circles around where you live, but start where you're at. You say, well, Pastor, I really want to do something for God. I think I'm going to go to India. Hey, if God leads you, India is a great place. But you know what I would encourage you? Hey, how about starting with your family? I want to go to India to tell people about Jesus. You know, it'd be nice if you told your neighbor before you go to India. I really have a burden for lost people in the world. Well, have you been praying for your wife? Sons and daughters? Cousins? You don't have to go to some exotic place to find people that need Jesus. All you have to do is get up in the morning, walk out your front door, take a breath of air, and I can guarantee you before you're two blocks away, you'll run into people that need Jesus. We start here, folks. Hey, I believe in missions. We send to missions because we're not going to limit that. But I know people that want to do missions, but they're not willing to get out their front door. I know churches that believe strongly in missions and have a budget and have a map and little lights on their map, but you know what? They're dying and haven't led anybody to Christ, baptized anybody, let anybody turn anybody's life around in years, but they believe in the mission field, but they've lost vision that we live in the mission field, that we are the mission field, that we live in a place that's a huge mission field. It starts Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. It goes everywhere into the world. And the Bible says, and I love this, and after he said this, and by the way, it was during these 40 days that he was here on earth that he told them, he gave them what's come to be known as the Great Commission. He said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner, a follower. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. How do we make disciples? Well, you start by giving them the message. And then one of the first thing that disciples do, he says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them? Yeah. That's kind of like an initiation, right? It's the first, you are baptized into water as a sign that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And then it says, and teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. So they're baptized, and then they are taught to follow the ways of God. He says, that's what I want you to do. I want you to make disciples of all nations. That's why once a month we have a baptism here. At the end of every month, we baptize. We just had a baptism a couple weeks ago. And a few people got, Mark, you got baptized. Anybody else here got baptized? Okay, we had about 8 people that got baptized there. And we celebrate it. Why? Does it end with baptism? No, that baptism is the start, not the end. It's the beginning of it. And then we help make disciples of all nations. And our goal is, for us here in Chicago, at 51st and Keeler, our primary mission field, to begin with, is right around our neighborhood. And then expands further than that. If you live wherever you're at, whatever your address is, that's your mission field. That's the center of your mission field. And then you start expanding around that circle. And you say, Holy Spirit, give me power. Give me boldness. Give me love. To be able to take this message, not Bible thumping, not being obnoxious or obsessive or judgmental, but bringing the message of Jesus Christ in a bold, loving, clear way so that other people can also come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen?
You've been listening to the conclusion of Pastor Mark's message called Purpose in Community. It's from his series called Supernatural. Please do join us again on the next Straight Talk as we get into part 2. people in community. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.